May I say what a wonderful arrangement this is, that people start the day with learning, and shkoyach to the all those who make the effort to come regularly and however often, and to the organisers from Manchester and from London. It's a tremendous push to be responsible for so much extra Torah learning, and I'm honoured to be invited to be here this day. Originally I was asked to speak last week in Sedra Koyach, and I was just starting when I was asked the Gemara in the second parak of Kiddushin with the class that I teach in school, all about Shalichus, and much about Shalichus in the Sedra of Koyach, so I thought I'd speak about Shalucha Shalavim Kamoisai. In fact, it was deferred for this week, but we find Shalichus everywhere in the Torah. In Koyach we found it that at one point the Moloch was punishing the Bnei Yisrael with a plague, and Aaron was sent by Moshe to stop it. So the Malach said to Moshe, to Aaron, that I am a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to punish for the sins of Korach. And Aaron said that I am a shliach for Moshe Rabbeinu to tell you to stop. And eventually Aaron was successful. And there's other references in Korach. Now that we're in Chukas Bolok, I looked quickly, we found shlichas here as well. It says, Vayishlach Moshe Malachim. Moshe sent messengers whether he could go through the land of Edom. Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim. Later, that the Bnei Yisrael sent messengers, could we go through the land of Sichon. And in Bolok, Vayishlach Malachim El Bolok, El Bilom, that Bolok himself sent messages to Bilom. So we find shlichus everywhere. Although not every time when you send a message is it really in the category of Shluchai Shalodim Kamoisai. Shlucho Shalodim Kamoisai seems to be when somebody is arranging a transaction or a deal or a chalois or possibly a mitzvah that he's performing, and then instead of doing it himself, somebody does it on his behalf, and we say Shlucho Shalodim Kamoisai. So it comes throughout the Torah in these sedras, but even if not, the whole setup really of somebody delivering a Dvar Torah is a form of shlichus, where one person is standing up and saying a shiur in front of everybody. So in any case, we can talk about shlichus. So the Gemara in Kiddushin says that we learn out shalichas from two or three places in the Torah, and the most familiar one is v'shilcha, written by a get. That it says he showed, instead of saying v'girsha, as Rashi points out, it says v'shilcha, and this tells you that a man can make a shliach instead of giving the get himself. It says v'nosam v'yodah, he should give it to her, but v'shilcha, he can also send it with a shliach. From here we can't learn all other cases in the Torah, because the Gemara says Gittin can be done Bal Korcha. And since it can be done Bal Korcha against her will, maybe it's a special case. Perhaps the explanation is that something which can be done Bal Korcha, he's got total control over it, and therefore he can also pass it on to a Shaliach. Maybe other transactions which require consent, such as Kiddushin, maybe you couldn't learn out the rule of Shaliach from Gerushin. Fortunately, the Gemara says there's another source from a Korban Pesach, v'shochatu oisai kol kahal adas Yisrael, v'shochatu is in the plural, oisai in the singular. From there, says the Gemara, we can learn out that instead of shechting the Korban Pesach yourself, you can ask a shaliach to do it for you. And then you can't learn out kol hatera kula from this case either, because the Gemara says that most things of a Korban, roiv ma'asein al yidei shaliach. So therefore, like the rest of the Korban has to be done by a kohen. The catching of the blood, and then the sprinkling of the blood, and burning it, burning the korban. If all of that has to be done by a shliach anyway, and Hashem says the shechita, the one thing that you could have done yourself, can be done by a shliach, you can't be sure that it applies to other cases. But if you put the two together, gerushin and kodshim, then we can learn out using the rule of a binyan av mishnei kesuvim. Now that I've got two examples, and each of them has got a special reason that we can't learn from it, you can put the two together, and we can learn out therefore kol haTorah kula shalucho shalodim kamoisai. Now there's a third one, which of course is in the Sedra Koyach. Towards the end of the Sedra, it talks about a levi taking truma from the miser that he receives, and it says that he should take truma gam atem. Also, you have to take a bit away of your produce. And he could have just said atem. So what's gam atem? L'rabba is esa shliach. So we've also got an example of shlichus from which we can learn in Truma. I asked the Gemara, but why do we need it? We've already got the two of Kokshim and Gerushim. We don't need to have it in Truma. And the answer is that telling you that a shliach is gam atem is like you. Just like you are Bnei Brit, and we have got Jewish people, so too the shliach has to be a Jewish person. And the Gemara adds that although this is quite logical, how could you possibly think of sending someone to do a mitzvah for you if he's not part of that mitzvah? The phrase is got to be b'toiras, b'toiras a mitzvah. So how could you imagine, why do we need to be told that a shliach has to be Jewish? Answers the Gemara, because there are some mitzvahs that a non-Jew is b'toiras. And one example of all is truma itself. According to the one opinion in the Mishnah, if a non-Jew's got a field in Eretz Yisrael, he can separate truma and he must from his own produce. So he is b'toiras truma. If so, I would have thought he could be a shliach. So we're told he can't be a shliach because he's not a ben brit. It doesn't fit in with gamma ten, and therefore he can't be a shliach for a Yisrael. And he will, this will now apply l'chol ha'tera kula, that anyone who's not b'toiras the mitzvah or not a ben brit can't be a shliach. So I was wondering about the story, as we know in the Chumash, about Eliezer, the servant of Avraham, who went to find a wife for Yitzchok. Eliezer wasn't Jewish, and he was not the Torah getting the Kiddushin. He was from Eved Kanani. So how could he be a Shliach to do the Kiddushin for behalf of Yitzchok? Additionally, Yitzchok didn't even send him. It said Avraham Avinu sent him. Now it's very nice for the father to get involved, but the man who has to do the Kiddushin is the man himself. There's no way that a father can arrange Kiddushin for his son. There is a possibility for a daughter up to the age of 12 and 12 and a half, but a man can't be in charge of his son's Kiddushin. So how could Avraham instruct Eliezer? And as well, the Gemara says it's not appropriate for a man to have Kiddushin arranged if he's never met his kala at least once. He's got to be able to see her in advance in case he should later on meet her and not be pleased with what he will see. So here was Yitzchok being forced into a marriage without his knowledge apparently, and without having seen her obviously. So how could they set about such an arrangement? You could always answer that this was before Matan Torah, the rules were different, you can't talk about B'nai Baris, although Avraham had just had his Baris and Yitzchok, but such rules only apply once the Torah was given with Gamma 10 maybe. And as well, although it says that Avraham sent Eliezer, we could maybe suggest that Yitzchok also had a chat with him before he left, and he said, you know what my father told you, I'm I'm the Meshaleh because I'm planning to get married. It could be. But possibly and surely it wasn't really a Kiddushin. Eliezer wasn't asked to be Mekadisha, he was only asked to arrange for Shidduch. He was only asked to find somebody, and although he gave her rings and nose rings and all sorts of gifts when he met her, but it doesn't mean that this was the act of Kiddushin. Surely it was just a Shidduch rather than Erusin. And therefore it didn't matter that Avraham was the one who sent her. The Kiddushin would take place when she came back. And indeed when she came back, Yitzchok met her, and Eliezer said, this is my master, because he understood that Yitzchok was the one who was going to be Mekadisha when she came back. The Shaila is, well, Tosfos quotes in Kusubah stuff, Zion on the base, that the Gemara is there discussing, how do we know you need 10 people for Nisuin? For chuppah and for sheva brachos, you need to have a minyan. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Boaz, who was marrying Ruth and gathered 10 people. Tosfos quotes the Maseches Kalah, which says we can learn a brachos nisuin with 10 people from Eliezer, because the pasuk said there that the people gathered round and gave a bracha to Rivka, and therefore we can learn from there that brachos nisuin is with 10 people. So we were thinking that Eliezer went for kiddushin, and perhaps concluding it was only a shidduch, and the Tosfos quote, it was even nisuin. It's very hard to understand how Eliezer could have been a shliach to arrange the nisuin. You surely have, even if the chosan doesn't have to be there for the ceremony of giving the ring, he surely has to be there for the second half of the ceremony under the chuppah and then in the yichud room. You could hardly send a shliach at that point for the nisuin. So Tosfos concludes that quotation from the Maseches Kalah was only an asmachta, and it didn't necessarily mean we learned the rule of Nisuin from there. There was a remez for it. In fact, it doesn't even mention 10 people in the pasuk, so we could hardly learn that you need dafka a minyan, maybe a crowd. And Tosfos concludes it an asmachta, and I would understand that he means that it wasn't even kiddushin, as we said, it was just a shidduch. Anyway, there's a few examples I came across that shlichus doesn't work. And one of them is said by the Tosfos Rid, maybe others, surely others as well, that a mitzvah shebegufoy, you cannot make a shliach. Something like tefillin, he says, and tzitzis and sukkah, if we're unable one morning to put on tefillin, can you just ask somebody else to put the tefillin on their arm and on their head, and it should count for us? It doesn't work. A mitzvah, which is Sheva Gufoy, or the Kassais who quotes this says, Al Gufoy, something where the tefillin has to be on our body. We can't make a shliach that somebody else can do it on his body. Or if you're supposed to sit in the sukkah and you don't manage, well, I'll make a shliach instead. Let him have a meal for me in the sukkah. The Tosfos Rid and others all say, and it's become a well-known rule, that you can't have a shliach on something like that. What about Limud Torah? Let's say somebody is unable one morning to start the day here, the Torah way, or he's a bit involved with his newspaper or breakfast. Could he phone up a friend and say, will you be my shliach? You go along to the shir and have me in mind to be mate to me. Can you send a shliach for Limud Torah? Surely not. Because we said a shliach really works for something which is a transaction or a mitzvah. Of course it works for a mitzvah, but surely this is really like a mitzvah shebagufay. The mitzvah is that the Torah should go into our heads and we should do the learning, and it's not that Torah should be learned somewhere or other, somebody should learn. If that was all it was, you could have a shliach and he can do it for you, but if the mitzvah of Limud Torah is surely our own personal mitzvah and can't be done through a shliach. If so, how do we understand Yisachar and Zebulun? That it seems that Yisachar was learning and Zebulun was encouraging them and helping them and effectively making Yisachar their shaliach, as if that Zebulun was potter for learning. And it seems to be strongly approved and supported. They got the reward for the arrangement. So, and they're praised till this day, we always mention it. Surely the arrangement of Yisachar and Zvulun wasn't really a shlichus arrangement. It's not that Zvulun was thinking, let's start learning today, no, I'll make a shliach and go to work instead. Presumably the arrangement was that Yisachar devoted themselves to learning and Zvulun devoted themselves to working, as was their situation. But with the money that they had, they decided to be machazik to Torah. They were supporting the Torah learning of Yisachar. And made it possible for Yisachar to carry on. Like many people are machazik Torah nowadays, whenever they contribute towards a yeshiva or a kollel or a moysad, they are machazik Torah, and therefore they get the reward in proportion to as much they are machazik Torah. If you give a small amount, you get the reward appropriately. And Zebulun contributed 100% towards the upkeep of the learning that was done by Yisachar. But it wasn't a shliach. It wasn't that Zebulun got the reward for learning, but they got the reward for supporting the learning, which was very praiseworthy. But indeed, the people of Zebulun, if ever they had time available, they couldn't say, well, I've done my mitzvah through shlichus, Yisachar has learned for me. If ever they had available time, I'm sure they were still mitzvah to do their own learning. So the Gemara says in the case of shlichus that we learn from the word v'shilchar that the husband can make a shliach. But then it says we learn out also with a complicated drosha, machlekes, rashi, toisves, that the wife can make a shliach as well. She doesn't have, he makes a shliach l'haylocha, and she can make a shliach l'kabbalah, and the husband and wife don't need to meet at the divorce at all. His shliach can give the get to her shliach. And even more, we learn out that the shliach can make a shliach. The shliach doesn't even need to go directly to her. He can make a second shliach and a third shliach and so on. And it's all learned out from the word b'shulchan. Says the Rashba, but her shliach can't make a second shliach. Only his shliach, because he's got the get in his hand, it's therefore a proper substantial shlichus, and he's received the get, he can pass on the get and the instruction to a second shliach. But her shliach has just got an oral instruction. Go and receive my get from my husband. And that is called mili. And mili lo nimsri l'shliach, the Gemara says in Gittin, that an oral instruction can be given to a first shliach. There's no problem with the first shliach. You can ask him, please receive the get. But you can't pass that on to the second shliach. That's mili lo nimsri l'shliach. So I came across in the Mefarshim an interesting shaila. The Gemara says a shliach can make a shliach with a get. What about with kiddushin? If somebody sends a shliach to give a ring to his bride to be at some distant place, and the shliach on the way is not able or not willing to carry on, can he make a second shliach, a shliach or a shliach? At first thought, it's exactly the same as a get. He's been given the ring to give over to the lady. And it's a similar case as he's sending a get. He's received the get. It surely shouldn't be a problem of milli, and therefore he should be able to pass it on to another shliach. The Tosfos Rib says he can't. It's still got a din of milli, lo mimsui, lo shliach. And he says, let's say the shliach would lose the ring, would lose the money that was being given as a gift to the kala. Then he would give some other money. He could take money, could and should give other money. So what has he really got from the husband? It's not the value of the ring, it's just the oral instruction, will you please be a shliach to be mekadesh my wife, the wife-to-be. So he can be the shliach, but he can't pass it on. This is not like a get, because a get, if he would lose the get, he couldn't quickly write another one. The get has to be written with the instruction and from the husband. Therefore he's got the get, and only the get. That's a substantial shlichus. This or of the Tosfos Rib presumably wouldn't apply if the husband had sent a shtar kiddushin. We don't have to be mekadosh the kesef, you can also be mekadosh the shtar. So if he had a shtar, then presumably the Tosfos Rib would say that this is no longer milli, because he has to be mekadosh with the shtar, only with the shtar. If it was lost, he wouldn't be able to carry on. Now there's a famous comment of the Mordechai quoting somebody called the Kodesh Mardush. Must have been a tzaddik who lived around those times, and he also says that kiddushin is a problem of milli, but for a different reason. He says it's not so much when the husband gives a get that he's given something in the hand. The advantage of the get is what we said earlier, that you can be megarish bal korcha. Therefore the get is a complete message. He's totally got the power and the control the shliach has got to finish the job. There's nothing that can stop him. Nobody can stop him giving the get. Even if she stands and refuses, he can give her the get bal korcha. That is a proper shlichus. And then that can be passed on to a second shliach and so on. However, kiddushin requires her consent. When he comes up to her, she has to weigh up, shall I say yes or shall I say no? It's possible that she knew he was coming. It's very likely it was an arranged marriage, but you can never tell. Well, I must be careful what I say. Whether with women that she will still say yes. She may have said yes when they planned it some months ago, but now that he actually turns up, who knows whether she's actually going to say yes. And she has the right to change her mind and back down until she's accepted the ring. Therefore, as he stands in front of her, he cannot be sure that he can fulfill his mission. He's dependent upon her. Anything like that, says the Mordechai, has got a din of milli. It's an incomplete power, and therefore it can't be passed on to another shliach. And this would apply even to a shtar. If somebody was mekadesh, sent a shtar along, even though the shtar is more powerful than just a ring, by the end of the day, she could decline, and it needs her consent, and therefore it's a drawback of milli. So I came across a brilliant question of the Ketzayt HaChoshen in Kuf Pei Beis. He quotes this Mordechai and he says, well, surely nowadays Gittin no longer can be done Bal Korcha. Ever since Rabbeinu Gershom made a Cheirim, he said you cannot divorce a wife against her will. So therefore it should surely be that nowadays the rules will be the same. And according to the Mordechai, which is quoted in Halacha, that you cannot, a shliach can't make a shliach with Kiddushin, it should surely be the same with Gerushin nowadays. So the Shulchan Aruch should have said, you're allowed to do shliach oisah shliach of gerushin in the olden days, but nowadays we've got the chayr of Rabbeinu Gershom. Even with a gerushin, a get is an incomplete shlichus because she could refuse, and therefore it should be impossible to do a shliach oisah shliach of gerushin. So he asks, according to the mantra, why does the Shulchan Aruch not say that? And surely it's not left for us to understand it. It's a very subtle point. So I came across a brilliant answer from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. He says, it's true that nowadays we need the wife to consent to a get. You can't force a get upon a woman, that's correct. But when she says yes to accepting the get, does she become part of the transaction? Or is she just saying yes, that now he can do the whole of the transaction? We said earlier that kiddushin is always 50-50. He has to offer the kiddushin and she has to accept it. Who makes that transaction? Who makes the chalos of the kiddushin? It's a joint conclusion. And therefore, it's a problem of milli because the shliach hasn't got 100% power. With gerushin, the Torah gave 100% authority to the husband and he's divorced Bal Korcha. It's 100-0. Now Rabbeinu Gershom said she has to agree. But it doesn't change things, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. She has to agree, means she has to she has to accept the get willingly. But when she does so, she doesn't become part of the transaction. she just has to. She's not blocking the 100% that that he could have done previously. So Rabbeinu Gershon just says she has to say yes, but her saying yes doesn't make her a participant in the actual chalos of the gerushin. She's just not blocking it. But now that it takes place, it's still entirely done by the husband or his shliach. And therefore, even nowadays, says the Reb Chaim, it will still have a din of a proper shliach, so you can do shliach by shliach. We find another case that shlichus breaks down is l'dvar aveira. The Gemara says in Kiddushin that you can't make a shliach to do a dvar aveira because divrei harav, the divrei hatalmid, divrei nishomim. The shliach shouldn't have listened. This is difficult to understand because the fact is the shliach did listen and he did what he was told to do. But many meforshim explain that it's an excuse for the mishaleach. The one who sent him can say he can't be my shliach because I didn't expect him to listen. I asked him, but I didn't expect him to say yes. And if he said yes, that's his own choice. It's a dvar aveira. It's nothing to do with me. And this is a justified defense for somebody to say. And therefore, ain shliach dvar aveira. And many Meforshim say that if this is the right explanation, then if the Shliach didn't know there was an Aveira involved, the Meshaleach may have told him to collect something from some empty house, and it's my property, although really it was stolen property. If the Shliach didn't know, then you wouldn't be able to say this logic. Or if it was in a case of a theft, and the Shliach was known to be a professional thief, one hired him or requested from him to do so, then one can't say, well, I didn't think he would do such a thing because he was specially chosen because he's good at that particular thing. Others say that Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira is no longer a Svara only, although the Gemara does say it at the beginning of the Sugya. Later on there's hints through Pesukim that Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, and it could be that it is a Chayk. It's a Halacha that you can't make Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. And if that was true, then even B'Shoigeg it wouldn't apply, and even if he was known to be willing to do such a thing, it still wouldn't apply. There's quite a famous story that happened around the times of the Noid of Yehuda, that a man sent a shliach to divorce his wife, and then the shliach gave it Bal Korcho. So this is only about 200 years ago, hundreds of years after the Chayim of Rabbeinu Gershon. So effectively, the shliach did the Aveira. He transgressed the Aveira of Rabbeinu Gershom, which incidentally the Noda B'Yudah says is not just a drabonon, although it was invented by and instituted by a Rabbi Gershom, and nevertheless it's got the force of a Torah law, because the Torah talks about Haramim and listening to their father. So effectively he did a major Aveira, but he did it. He gave her the get, he forced the get upon the woman. The Shaila is, of course it was the wrong thing, but is she actually divorced or not? And there the Noda B'Yudah has got one teshuva after the other with a discussion and a debate with other Rabbonim whether it counts or not. And the Noda B'Yudah's view is based upon a Tosfos in Bava Metzia that when we say Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Aveira, it's taken literally. He isn't a Shaliach. Once there's a Dvar Aveira, Ein Shlichus. Like Ein Shlichus L'Dvar Aveira, there's no Shlichus at all. The Shaliach is no Shaliach and the Get is no Get, even though it was done and it was given. And others argue and say, no, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira means that the one who sent him won't get punished for any Aveira that the Shliach did. But the Shlichus is valid. So this is, as I say, hinted at in Tosfos in Bava Metzia, and the Noda B'Yehuda and his opponents reigns throughout Shas with countless proofs, the Noda B'Yehuda's conclusion is that it's totally invalid. The site in Kuf Pei Beis, who quotes the Noda B'Yehuda, says it surely makes a difference if he told the Shliach to do it Bal Korcho or not. And he bases this on a Mishnah Lamela. If he told the Shliach to do it Bal Korcho, then you can say Ein Shliach Advar Aveira. He sent him to do an Aveira. But if he sent the Shliach, please deliver this get to my wife. And when it time came, the wife said, I refuse to accept it, so the Shliach gave it Bal Korcho. Then it's quite different, says the Kassoit, and in such a case it's a valid Shlichus. Although he admits that the Noda B'Yehuda doesn't mention this distinction, doesn't seem to hold of it. But he brings a strong proof for this, says the Kassoit, from the famous Mishnah Lamelach, that there are some exceptions in the Gemara where we do say Yei Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, and one of them is Tzvicho Mechira. After somebody steals a lamb or animal and he shechts it, then he has to pay four or five times. What happens if he sends a Shliach to do the Shechita? It's an exception. We say Yei Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, the one who stole it has to pay back. What happens if the Shliach shechts it on Shabbos? So there's an extra Aveira of Shechita on Shabbos. So then says the Mishnah Lamelech, it depends. If he had told him to Shechtid on Shabbos, now we'll say in Shliach Hazvar Aveiru, and he doesn't have to pay. But if he didn't tell him, he just said Shechtid for me, and the Shliach chose to Shechtid on Shabbos, then that was his choice, the Shlichus is a valid Shlichus, and the one who sent him would have to pay. So similarly here says the Ketzayit, if he didn't tell him to deliver it Bal Korcho, then the would be a valid Shlichus, and the get would be valid Ketzayit. Interestingly, the Ketzayit there in the same Simon quote a different tshuva of the Noda B'Yehuda, that the Noda B'Yehuda says that even before the Chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom, a Shliach is never able to divorce a wife Bal Korcho. Although the Gemara talks about Shlichus and Bal Korcho, it doesn't actually put them together. It says Shlichus works with a get, because a get can be done Bal Korcho. The Gemara doesn't mean a Shliach can ever give it Bal Korcho, and the Noda B'Yehuda bases this upon a statement of the Rosh, that there's a rule of Teifes Lebal Chayv, Vemokim Shechav La'Cheirim, that if a borrower owes lots of people money, and then somebody wants to help out one of the creditors, and he's Teifes, he grabs some of the money without permission, then on behalf of one of the creditors, it doesn't count. And the Shaila, does it help if he was made a Shaliach or not? And the Rosh and most Rishonim say, even if he's a Shaliach, Teifes Lebal Chayv, he's got no right to interfere, because it's Chav La'Cheirim. Because if one creditor gets the money, then the other creditors lose out their opportunity to get the money from the man who owes them. Teifes Lebal Chayv, Mokum Shechav La'Cheirim, doesn't help even with a Shaliach. Says the Noda B'Yehuda, divorcing a wife Bal Korcho is Chav La'Cheirim. Of course, sometimes she might be pleased to be divorced, but in principle, the Gemara describes a get as a situation of a choiv, and we don't look at each individual case whether she's really had benefits on this occasion. And therefore, it's chav la'cheirim, and it shouldn't be possible to have a shliach which is bal korcha. And the Ketzayis quotes this, and he argues with it, but it's interesting that Noda B'Yehuda didn't use this in his main teshuva to explain why that woman wouldn't be divorced in that case. The Ketzayis says there's also different, there's an exception to this Rosh. In the case where the shlichus was made by the debtor himself, if the loiver appoints one of the creditors as his shliach, since he's involved with the case and he's got the authority over his money, he can designate which one of them should be the creditor to get the money now, and he's got the authority to say. And in such a case, therefore, you can have a shliach in Teifes Lebal Chayv. Says the Ketzayis, well, the same thing is with the husband. He's the man who's got the authority, and even though it's Chav La'Cheirim, he's like the debtor himself, and therefore he can give the shlichus even to somebody Bal Korcho. So there's lots of aspects there. I'd like to just give a summary. We said at the beginning that shlichus works for Chol HaTorah. We learn it out from Geirishin and from Kodshim. A shliach has to be a Ben Brith, as we see from Terumah. Eliezer was an exception. Not a proper shlichus, as halacha. Shlichus doesn't work with the mitzvah shebegufoy, like tefillin and limud Torah, and Yisachar and Zevulun was an exception. Mili lo mimsiru l'shliach means one shliach can't pass it on to a second shliach, and this has applications to a shliach l'kabola, like the Rajbo, or Kiddushin, as we saw in the Mordechai, because they're incomplete. Geirushin is really complete nowadays, says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, even after the Chayim of Rabbeinu Gershom, because it doesn't change the basic law. And Ein Shliach Hadvar Aveira means there's no Shlichus at all, and as we've seen in this case of a husband divorcing Bal Korcho, there can be complicated things. Finally, we know the famous rule in the Mishnah says, Mitzvah Boy Yaisa Mishluchai. It's surely when, even when you can send a Shliach, we should always try to do the Mitzvah ourselves. So how can it be that you go to a Shir and somebody is saying the Shir, surely if you want to start the way, the day, the Torah way, the best way, one should be learning oneself. Why is one sending a Shaliach to say the Shir? One should be learning the Chavrusa, Efshek. The answer is surely that we know there's a rule of Shemeah Ka'ina. If everybody is listening and we're sharing in a Devar Torah, it's not the one who's really a Shaliach at the beginning. One isn't a Shaliach. We're all learning together. One person says that everybody's listening, and we all get the zchus of learning Limud Torah B'Rabbi. Yeah. Okay. Gada, Aziz, Gada.